Welcome everybody to episode 44 of the Williams Project. On today's topic, we're going to be breaking down that not everything is as it appears. You're bombarded with thinking there's people that are billionaires, millionaires, just pissing money and excellence, but that is not the case. These figures are easy to manipulate and nothing is as it appears. So guys, this topic actually comes from a conversation I was having with one of our young members of staff about money, right? And in social media, on the internet, we are blasted with people's net worth. This person's worth a billion, this person's worth 100 million, this person made a business worth $20 million in a day. Now, we're not economists, and there's going to be economists that go, you should have said this point, not that point, but this is about how it works. Now, let's say you make a business selling bottled water, okay? And your business turns over $10 million a year and you have a net profit of 10%, okay? So your business is having a net profit. So after overhead, before tax, you have a net profit of $1 million. Now, if you want to sell that bottled water company to another individual, the business carries a value which is based on what's called an EBIT, okay? So an EBIT is the profit it makes times a number to create its value. So the average EBIT when you're looking at a business for sale, depending on the business, but it goes from anywhere from 1x the year's profit right up to about 6 or 7x, depending on the quality of the business and how well it runs itself. Okay, so this water business, if I'm selling it to Blair, has a value of say 1 to 7 million. Now, this is where it gets confusing. If you publicly list that water business, so you list it on the stock exchange, you have an EBIT of somewhere between 17 to 25 times on average. So now all of a sudden, my water bottle business that turns over 10 million, makes $1 million a year, is now worth $23 million. Right? Big number. And it's also a very big difference from the previous value. But now it gets even more ridiculous. Before the last GFC, and I've read books about this, there's businesses selling for 80 to 120 times EBIT. So that same bottled water company that makes $1 million a year that I could have sold to Blair for 3 million, or I could have publicly listed in a sensible way and got sold for 20 million. Now I'm publicly listing and it's worth 100 million, but it's the same business. And that business value fluctuates, dropping down to 90 million, going up to 110 based on how good the PR is of that company.
Well, that's like when you see articles and it's like Elon Musk loses $400 million in a day and actually lose the money. No. All that happened was the share price went down, which then reduced what Matthew's been talking about. The money wasn't, it's like, I think it was some hit Instagram celebrity put up an Instagram post or a tweet and was like, does anyone even log into Snapchat these days? And Snapchat lost $1 billion on the stock exchange. And it's like, if one person can do a 40 character tweet, whatever the Twitter limit is, and it loses $1 billion, that money wasn't real.
Yeah, and also the money isn't cash.
Correct.
So let's talk through that, right?
It's not actually in an account as cash.
So if I have a business, all right, and I'm a 50% shareholder, the business makes $1 million a year, and we have a market cap of, turns over 50, makes $10 million a year, and we have a market cap of 20 times EBIT, right? So that's now 100 million.
200 million.
200 million, right? And I'm a 50% shareholder, so I'm worth 100 million. I don't have $100 million in my account. I probably have 800 grand.
Yeah, it's more or less someone saying your business is worth 200 million, you own half of it, so you've got 100 million, but the business hasn't been sold, so it's not actually money.
And like with Williams Corporation, and business values are just, they annoy me, because I could go find some accountant somewhere that would put a value on Williams Corporation at like 80, 90 million. Do you agree?
Yeah, and all it is really just a company with a whole lot of trading accounts at different suppliers around town.
Well, because we built it, we sort of struggle with the val, but like these valuations are a bit silly. And the people with these massive business valuations don't pay, they don't have the cash that it looks like they do. So when you're sitting there as the average member of society making 80 grand a year, you have nothing left at the end of the week when you pay your bills, and you hear about these people that are worth billions. You gotta remember, they have the same problems as you. They've got cash problems. Like, just they, what they have is they have an experience in the industry which has given them an ability to control more capital. But businesses always don't have enough cash. Owners very rarely have a lot of cash from the business. Like Blair and I, we withdraw probably 3% of our earnings a year. I think our accountant gave us a report and we'd withdrew 12% between both of us in the last 3 years. We don't take the business's profitability. We get paid a rather conservative, for the size of the business, management salary, which is probably less than if you got a market manager from the industry to run it. And we live off that, and everything else goes in the business. And that's actually another problem I have with current capitalism that we saw when this COVID-19 thing happened. These businesses have no cash.
Mm.
And what happens? They hit one, two, three months of hard times and they're broke. And it's like, well, hold on a minute. You're a corporate that's been trading for 100 years. You should have 1 or 2 years worth of overhead in your account.
And that's also the problem with the stock exchanges. Like, these aren't, like, obviously, when a company goes on the stock exchange, more or less anyone can buy the shares and take a very small ownership in that country. Not country, that'd be cool though, to buy a country in the company. But the issue with that is like Matt said, when there's like a COVID event, these big corporates with CEOs on $1 million a year or even more, like way more, they're not financially, they've got some financial interest, but it's actually Johnny and Mary Smith's money that they're playing with.
Yeah,
it's not like it's their money, their blood, sweat and tears. They go, oh, well, we've raised $50 million in the share market this week, so what should we do with it?
Yeah.
It's very detached.
Yeah, I agree with that point. But the other point that I was making before, they're not carrying enough cash. They're too the directors of these companies are too eager to pay money to the shareholders,
pay dividends,
so they look good.
Yeah.
But they forget, like, if we carry at least at any one time a year's overhead, a year's interest for our investors and a trading buffer, and like, we're pretty much a new business. And if we can have the discipline to trade in that manner, why aren't these multi-million dollar corporates?
Yeah.
And if anything, it makes me uncomfortable. I would prefer to carry 2 years of overhead and 2 years of interest and a larger trading buffer.
Yeah, because like, yeah, it's just, it's messed
but
up.
It's bizarre. And you
but
think,
like you said, they're because there's a shareholder. So if I'm buying shares, I go, I want the share price to go up and I want a dividend each year. You don't go, I want this business to be around forever if COVID comes out. So these CEOs and management are going, how do we pay out the most amount of dividends? Whereas when you pay out a dividend, you're reducing the cash that that company has to trade through hard times. So sure, you get your 8-10% return, but then COVID hits and you lose 30% off the share price because they run out of capital.
How well would that company's share price go if the day COVID-19 happens, the director stands up and says, we've known there's going to be a global event at some stage happen. We're carrying 2 years of overhead. It is absolutely fine if our sales dip for the next 8 months. The business is in a strong position and we are going to trade through this. What would happen to that company's share price?
It wouldn't change.
It would go up. So, yeah.
To give you an example of a company that did that, which is amazing, this is Wimbledon, the tennis company. They're one of the few companies in the world that had what's called pandemic insurance, which is obviously in the event of a pandemic, if Wimbledon can't go ahead, there's a payout given to the company to reflect that they can't earn any money. And I think from memory, it costs them $2 million a year to pay that, and they've been paying it for 17 years. They've been paid out $34 million over the last 17 years, just, I wouldn't say waiting for a pandemic, but being insured against it. When COVID hit, they got given $200 million.
Amazing. And the directors of that company should get a pat on the back. They really looked after that company and made sure it was going to survive through tough times.
Yeah, I don't think Wimbledon's listed though, so we can't see what the share price did, but it would be cool to know.
Yeah. But I guess the main thing I want to put into your heads, guys, is an EBIT, so earnings, what's EBIT stand for?
Earnings before interest and tax.
Yeah. The EBIT ratio of a business extremely manipulates what someone's net worth is. And it's very fluid.
And very volatile.
Correct. Yeah. And that person does not have the cash. Do you think Jeff Bezos has $150 billion of cash?
Like trillion.
No, billion.
Well, I think, for example, Amazon, their EBIT, off the top, it's about 120 times earnings.
So let me just break that down for you guys. If nothing changes in Amazon, they need to trade for 120 years for the investor to get to zero.
Yeah, to pay out everyone based on that value.
It's outrageous.
Because to explain how EBIT should really work is, say I'm Johnny the window cleaner, and I work and my window cleaning company earns $100,000 a year after it pays me just a normal wage to wash windows. Realistically, that's probably worth 2 to 3 times EBIT. And what that means is I could sell it to Matthew for, say, $200,000, and he knows that after 2 years he's paid back the cost of the business, and then everything after that, he's now making $100,000 a year that otherwise he wouldn't have had, and now he's a business owner who can work for himself.
And I would probably apply some leverage to that transaction. I would pay back, say, 20% of the loan over 5 years, so I know everything that I'm earning, 80%'s for me, 20%'s
paying
back. Yeah,
and after 5 years, you get the extra 20%.
Plus interest, blah, blah.
But that's generally how a business transaction goes when you're selling, but like I said, for some reason the stock exchange, we've got these massive things of 20 times, 100 times. So it's like if Amazon makes another $1 million in a year just through making a small tweak or starting to sell a new kind of office chair, they make another $1 million. All of a sudden, Amazon's now worth another 120 million, but the money doesn't exist. It's just made up on a balance sheet. And that's why when a COVID comes out, you see these such massive share market tanking, like it just plummets because it was never real in the first place.
Yeah, I think Warren Buffett, when I read his book, he looks at a 17% EBIT.
17 times
EBIT. 17 times EBIT. He's comfortable with a big company like, say, Coca-Cola buying it 17 times over a 10-year period. So what he might be doing is he might look at it and say, I'm actually buying it at 20 times, but I know they're about to do a big surge of growth, and by next year, the price I've paid will be 17 times, etc. But look, money, these massive business values you see, the cash isn't there, right? It's not real. It's not quite what you... But it's not the facade that's put out to you. And this is also the other thing where wealth tax annoys me. Because these wealthy people don't carry the cash. Like, all of their cash. Anyone I know who genuinely wants to make a difference in the world, loves their business, loves their staff, the majority of their cash is in their business.
Or in investments.
Yeah, or
in
investments.
It's not just sitting in a bank account getting, I don't know, 0.0%.
Well, when it's sitting in the bank account, it's actually worse than that because inflation's going up at 2%. You're probably getting 0.5% in interest, so you're losing 1.5% a year.
Yeah, which is why these people don't have money in their bank account.
Yeah, because dumb. So look, guys, we love you. We hope you took value from that podcast. I hope it sort of shed some light on these ridiculously wealthy human beings that exist in the world. One day we'll be publicly listing Williams Corporation for 100 times EBIT.
Maybe 300.
Look, we love you. We hope you enjoyed it. Have an awesome day.